Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
It's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I kind of found that little intro a must-play for the beginning of this show. When you look at the sport, you know, men get credit all the time, and there's truly two sides of the sport. And this guest that I got coming on with her, trainer and manager, has truly instilled, inspired, and really has taken on quite a role in the sport of boxing. She's created history, and she's still fighting as we speak. You know, when I reached out to her trainer, I didn't think he would give me this interview. So on that part, I'm truly humbled, honored, and blessed. With that being said, I'd like to welcome Layla McCarter to the program and Louis Tapia. How you doing?
We're doing good. Thank you for having us, Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm humbled and tickled to death, brother, that you gave me this opportunity. You know, I liked who you were because not only do you come from a different aspect in life in Chile, you have come to the sport and you've defined greatness through your knowledge. What is it about you, brother, that had you, if I read it correctly or remember my thoughts, I think at the age of 7 or something like that you've got into the sport, but I could be wrong. But what is it after all these years that has you giving knowledge, wisdom, and courage to fighters like Layla?
Well, you know, you're right. You know, I started in the sport when I was 7 years old, and then I stopped competing at the age of actually was in the year 19 at the end of 1981, and I wanted to stay in the sport, so and I wanted to keep doing it in a way what I was doing, so I wanted to pass it to somebody else. You know, my fighters. And but it's not easy, you know. You have to find the right fighters. Most of the fighters they got, besides boxing, they got a lot of issues that you need to work with them too. Mental issues. So you need to help them to, besides learn how to box, you need to help them how to become strong, how mentally, how become better persons. Because when they do that, then they really become good fighters. As we've seen it through the years, you know, you have so many fighters up there with a lot of issues, and they stop fighting because of those issues. So that's something very important that as a trainer, you need to take care of them. You know, you need to help them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I look back in my walk in the sport. I've been in the sport 25 years. I got my start in boxing. I've interviewed some of the greatest fighters ever. But Layla, I got to admit that I'm kind of fanboy today. This is kind of one of my bucket list wishes to interview you. You know, what is it about? Because there's so many levels to you, but we'll kind of just stick to boxing. What is it about the sport itself that you find that unique and endearing aspect that has you loving it, has you, you know, being able to take advantage of it and see a future in it? Because you're an 8-time world champion and 5-time division champ, I believe, and you also hold a title in BKB. So what is it about the sport that has encaptured you?
It's an interesting question. That's a pretty deep question. From the beginning, I think I found boxing was a way out. You know, I was young and I found my way to boxing, and it gave me a dream that I could focus on, I guess, a focal point in life. And it's important as a teenager to have that. Otherwise, you know, you end up in all kinds of trouble. But I was able to latch on to boxing and find a way to be great at something. And that was, you know, empowering. And so my whole life has just been focused on boxing since then. And I guess that's what it is. It's just what I do.
Yeah, I mean, each of us find our own path and we walk it. You know, throughout our years, we find adversity, triumph, different aspects, different detours. But we build and we grow from those. You know, the sport
right.
has taught you a lot. You know, now that you look back over your shoulder in a perceptive thought and look, how would you say that the truest form and the truest knowledge from you as a fighter has been taken from the sport?
Say that last part again, I'm sorry.
How would you say that you most utilized your growth in the sport?
My growth in the sport was simultaneous to my growth as a human being. As Lewis said, you know, teaching a fighter is also about life out of the ring and making good decisions, etc. Things that you might not learn at home. And I grew in both together at the same time. And I think that having boxing as a focus shaped my life and, you know, saved my life. So I'm not sure if I'm answering that quite correctly, what your question was, but yeah. I guess
it's okay.
That's, I can say
well,
about that.
I'll re-ask the question in a different manner. Now that you look over your shoulder, after all these years of being in the sport, who do you truly see?
What was the last?
I said, after all these years in the sport, looking over your shoulder, who do you truly see?
Who do I truly see?
In you.
In me. A person that's come a long way, you know. A champion. I've accomplished a lot in the sport, and I'm very proud of everything that we did. So I see someone who's overcome a lot to get to where I am, and I'm very happy with where I am today.
Overcoming obstacles.
I'm an experienced fighter.
Oh, I know that. You're probably one of the best fighters that I see as a female in the sport today. You know, others may differ, but well, I look at it this way. I like the old school aspect of boxing.
Me
you know,
too.
When I've had Livingstone Bramble on, I have James Toney, you know, and Vinny Paz and Mark Breland and Marlon Sterling.
Three of my friends.
Well, yeah, the thing about it is, and I'm going to ask you this question, because to them, it wasn't a world title that truly meant the most to them. To them, it was the Golden Gloves, the Olympics, the beginning of their career.
Right.
Where do you fall in that analogy?
Well, you know, for women it was different. In my time that I was fighting amateur, we didn't even have the nationals until the last couple of years I was an amateur. And if you couldn't afford to go, you didn't go. We didn't have sponsors. We didn't have USA Boxing helping us, and we didn't have the Olympics to shoot for. There was no such thing until the last two Olympics. So I would have loved to represent my country and, you know, fight for the gold medal. That would have been awesome. But the reality was that everybody was just professional. Most women didn't even have amateur fights. I had 12 at the time, which was like a lot. And, you know, so I kind of learned on the job. And my goal was to win a world title and to be the best in boxing. And after I won the world title, I realized we have a long way to go anyway. But, you know, it was the first step.
And you're still so young. That's what's great about it. I'm 56, so I can say that. You know, see all these fighters out there nowadays, they complain, they cry about things. And I'm not knocking any fighter. I'm just speaking the truth. And then you got fighters like you who will stand up on any given day, sign any contract, and get in the ring and go to work.
I've always felt old school about boxing, yeah. With the hard work you got to put in to do it and the sacrifices you have to make. And it's a mentality. And I look to those guys that you mentioned, you know, like Bramble and Paz and those guys. And they really were willing to fight anybody at any time. And they put in the work, and that's kind of what I aim to be. Yeah.
Well, I think you've done that, my friend, and you're still continuing to do that. You're set to fight March 21st. I mean, I can't even speak. See how you got me? I'm just excited to have you on the show because there's just so much
March
to
13th,
you. But
yeah.
March 13th, 2021.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Jensen Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm.
And if I pronounce her name right, Habazin?
Her name, Ivana Habazin. Yeah, that's our opponent that recently confirmed that and signed the contract. So
it's going to be a tremendous fight. You know, Lewis, you've created so many aspects in the sport of boxing. And as we said earlier, you've given a lot of knowledge. How do you prepare Layla for this next fight? Because she's a veteran. She's proven herself. How do you keep inspiring fighters like Layla in fight camp? How do you keep getting them ready time after time, sir?
Well, I really concentrate first in the state of mind. You know, they have to be in good state of mind so they can do the work, they can run, they can train without any problem, you know, without feeling that they don't feel good today, they're going to leave it for tomorrow. No, we train every day. So all depends your state of mind, you know, what do you really want to do and trying to keep the fighter there. So when Layla is not training, we are watching fight on TV, on YouTube. We're talking about boxing. We're talking about all fighters. So we always wanted to stay there. That's the way they want you to do it with the fighter. And also trying to keep them in the right road. You know, they have to stay focused in what they do. And they have to be active in what they believe. And I think, I never like fighter when they take 3 months off and they disappear and they just forget about boxing, do something else. I always like to stay focused in what they do, you know. And that's what actually we do. I do with him and every other of my fighters. And that's the reason that I have a few good successful fighters. They become world champions. Because what they do and what they think, and that's, I think, is very important. Any of the fighters and anybody in any sport, you know, when they stop thinking about what they do, then what they're not going to be as good as they were before, you know. So it's a very important thing.
It truly is a very important thing. You know, Layla, we talk about the origins of the sport. And I feel I have to share this story with you. There was a gentleman named the Uncrowned Champion, Joey Giambra Sr. He fought from 1949 to, I believe it was 1963. He never got a world title because he refused to take a dive. But he was one of the greatest fighters that, in my opinion, existed along that era with just a few more. You know, you look at the true determination and the perseverance and the pride and the passion that you as a fighter invoke in yourself moving forward. You know, the sport is young. The sport is different for women. How hard has that struggle been for you to get where you're at in the sport today?
You know, off and on, it's definitely been a struggle for not reaping the rewards that, you know, you feel as a fighter maybe you deserve when you put in the work and you succeed and you beat the people you're supposed to beat and you've taken on all the challenges and succeeded. It's definitely not the same payoff for women. So that was a struggle mentally to keep going, to keep pushing, you know, because at many points in my career, I'm like, why, you know, why should I, for what purpose, you know? But in the end, I realized that everything I did in boxing, they can't take it away from me. So, you know, they may be like trophies to somebody else or meaningless without money. But to me, it's like, you know, it's always going to be with me. So with or without the financial reward, I'm happy with everything that we did. I'm satisfied as a person. So that's the reason I keep pushing.
You know, you look back in your career and many fights, but I go back to one that against, I know I'm going to butcher this name, Laura Suente.
Laraquente?
Yeah.
Belinda Laraquente, she's a Puerto Rican from New York.
Yeah.
Well, she's from Puerto Rican.
When you go back and you look at that fight for any fight fan, and if they watched you to that point, would you say that that fight right there was truly a defining moment, a moving moment that really had you propel forward, that had you see the future as being, you know, a true career for you moving forward?
Long before that, I found myself in my career, but the Belinda fight was important in that it was sanctioned for 10 three-minute rounds, and it was the first time in Nevada, 10 three-minute round, I believe, sanctioned women's fight. So it was historical, and we did that with the help of the GBU, headed by Barbara Butrick, who was a pioneer herself. And that moment was really great for the history. But I also felt pretty good about it, you know, and my performance was all right, and we won the fight, and I was really happy with that night. And Belinda herself was a great, great fighter. I consider her a great fighter when she fought Christy Martin and she outboxed her. I mean, I thought she really put a good fight with Christy Martin. It was a close fight, but many people gave Belinda the win in their minds. And she was a great boxer.
You know, I just find, you know, you look back at that fight and there's so many special moments to you, because a lot I talk about pride and passion and perseverance on my show and what truly defines fighters. And you look for those little moments, because people don't understand that boxing is completely different than MMA. You know, you get a guy in MMA who's 12-0 and everybody's praising him, but you have somebody that's 12-0 in boxing and it really doesn't mean anything, because you don't
right.
get your first true test until, you know, your 15th, 16th fight, and then you finally get an opportunity to be tried, and you got to prove yourself. And then you fight a few more times, and then you get your first true test. Who would you say
yeah.
in your career was your first true test?
Tough question. I feel like all of them were a test in some way or another, but you know, it was a struggle from the beginning. As I said, I didn't have a lot of amateur experience, so every time out was fresh and new. And I fought people with more experience fighting in their hometowns. But the first really tough experience, I believe, was when I fought JoJo Wyman and I was defending my IFBA featherweight title. And Luis wasn't able to be in my corner. So I had some mental issues, you know, just getting up for the fight. And also in the fight, she was a southpaw. She was tough. A really strong fight, and I ended in a draw, defending my title successfully, but not successfully, if that makes sense. And so it was a rough, that was the first rough, real test, I think.
You know, Lewis is a tremendous man.
I agree with you.
But the thing of it is a lot of people in the sport don't realize how much of a significance difference a coach, a trainer, a mentor could mean.
100%.
What did Louis Tapia add to you, Layla?
Everything. You know, I had the will, I had the determination to be a fighter, to be a world champion, but he gave me the knowledge, you know, the tools, but also more than that, he gave me the again, I go back to life, giving me the ability to make good decisions, to surround myself with better people, because I kind of went with the flow as a kid. I didn't know, you know, that I could make those decisions, that I could choose my surroundings, and he really taught me that, and it saved my life. So in everything, I give credit to Luis for that.
Luis, you hear the words of your fighter.
You hear
the sheer tone of her voice that is truly heartfelt. What does it mean to you, sir, to know that not only have you defined this young lady, you continue to help her and guide her on her path and continue to chase her dream? How does it make you feel knowing that she puts so much relevance into who you are?
Yeah, it made me actually feel good, because when you work so hard and at the end of the day you get what you work for, it, that's great. And that's what I feel with Layla. Every time we go, we train hard, we go to up and down. Nothing is easy. Boxing is not easy. You know, you got to train hard. You go to a lot of inconvenience, argument, fight, between me and her, and that's happened with most of the fight. It's not easy, but at the end we come victorious in every fight, and that's my it, that's what I work for it. You know, I don't work much for the money. Money never been part of my game. I'm not just going for the money. I go for the win. You know, if I had to fight a big fight tomorrow and I win a world title and I made zero money, but I win the world title, that would be the best thing that ever happened to me, because that's what I work for. You know, I work for for the victory, not just the monetary recompense. You know, just the victory is the best for me. And that's what happened with me and Layla. You know, we go through a lot of things, a lot of arguments, a lot of disagreements. But at the end, she wins, and that's what I work for it. You know,
that's tremendous. You know, because it's funny, we could say she's a woman and women always win, but that doesn't even play a role here, because you know, she's proven herself, Layla. Not very many women can look back and say they have walked the walk that you've walked.
Right.
You know,
you see a lot of female fighters up there, but for me, there's nobody like Layla. You know, that's what I always say. She is in a league of her own. You know, there's nobody up there that can be as good as Layla. That's me, you know, but we've been proving that. We've been proving that by beating everybody, from fighting 230 pounds to 154 pounds. Layla is the only female or male fighters that fought in many different countries, and we always want to fight. We always win. We never lost out of the country. So I wonder how many of these guy champions they go and fight in England, Germany, South Africa, whatever, South America, Mexico, and they win. Not many. That's why they don't do that, you know. You got so many male fighters, good fighters, that they don't do that because they want to stay protected. But when you're willing to do that and you know that you can do it, so you travel abroad to 3,000-4,000 miles away from your country and perform excellent and win a fight, that's what it's all about. It's all about being willing and ready to fight anybody everywhere.
Exactly.
Sorry, I think you had a question there, but I missed it.
It's okay. Luis is a tremendous man. You know, Layla, I think the only person to even come close to a certain aspect of your record that I know of is James Lights Out, Tony, possibly Ray Mercer. You've fought six different weight classes.
Seven, actually. Right. 122 to 154, but I got titles in five.
Yeah. See, when I don't look
fighter.
At Wikipedia or Tapology that much, but, you know, when I get somebody like you on, I at least want to have my I's dotted and my T's crossed, because this really is a bucket list interview for me. I think this is my 600th episode under this show title, and I don't never get nervous. I mean, I don't, but you've done it all. I mean, you fought in boxing.
Thank you.
You're a multiple world champion, but not only did you do that, you stepped over to BKB and won a title there. What was the
that
reason
was fun.
Behind
I really
that?
Liked that. Well, they offered us the opportunity to fight in this new thing, the BKB, and we took it, and it was just a great experience, great production, great team. And I think one of my better performances with my style, and I had the perfect opponent to highlight my style, which is boxing, pure boxing. It was just a great night. I really liked the experience. And I'm the only BKB female champion, because since then, I guess they're no longer there. DirecTV was bought by Comcast, or I'm not sure, AT&T. Anyway, so they're no longer in existence. So I was the first and only female BKB champion. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, because you even wanted kind of to get a kind of a stint in MMA with a couple of MMA fighters that are considered
no.
to be the greatest. Go ahead.
Well, they were considering boxing, and I said I'd be happy to give them a boxing lesson, but I'm not going to go over into their territory and, you know, fight them in what they're good at. If they wanted to try boxing and step into my, you know, I was kind of just saying stay in your lane in a way. but I'm, yeah.
Yeah, I was just referencing back to the public challenge, and I think it was, 2015 to Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, that was after the BKB fight.
See, that's what I love about you. And I think that's what Luis sees in you. It doesn't matter. You're going to give it your all. You're going to give it your heart. And you're going to give the best of who you are. You know, since I screwed it up already, like I said, I was excited you're on the show. But with your upcoming fight, you know, it's another opportunity for you. We've been under this ridiculous COVID restrictions, and I know you train
right.
every day, but I think you use this time to sharpen and hone your skills.
Definitely.
So for your fans, for people that are going to tune into this fight, what can they expect from Layla McCarter?
Well, I'm hoping to bring the best Layla McCarter ever, every time. You know, we train hard, we keep putting in the work. Whether it's at home, you know, I have a heavy bag outside, but it's getting a little cold, so we've been going back to the gym. But we're in a private gym where we can stay away from people. And so we're trying to be as safe as possible and get the work in. So I'm hoping that I'd like to show all of my experience in the ring, and whatever it takes to find the way to defeat my opponent, that's what I'll do. And Ivana Habazin is a good fighter from Croatia. She's fought some of the bigger names, Clarissa Shields, Cecilia Brakis. And she went the distance with both of those fighters, put a good fight. And then she's a naturally bigger fighter, so I'll definitely have to be aware of that and, you know, find the way to defeat her.
My friend, I think you will. You know, you've truly changed the sport. You've created a path for the future of younger girls who look up to you and give them the hope that they too one day could follow in the steps of Layla McCarter. You know,
I appreciate that. I really hope to give my fans a knockout. I just wanted to say that at the last, is that, you know, Clarissa didn't stop Ivana and Cecilia Brakis either. So I think it'd be a good statement if I could put an exclamation point on it. You know, that's what I'd love to get my fans, but basically I'm there to get the win.
I can't wait. I'm excited for you because I know it's been a little bit of a layoff here, but you've shocked the world
so many times. I mean, even when I'm fighting inconsistently, like I haven't had a lot of activity fighting, we're staying busy. I'm never out of the gym. I'm always training. I'm always active. We go hiking. And I fought in Mexico in November just to get some rust off. So I think it's going to be a great night. And I just hope everybody stays safe and it's going to be a good experience and another good victory, I hope.
I hope so too, my friend. You know, Luis, you've done a heck of a job, and together,
thank you.
An incredible team. You know, Luis, if you had any words of wisdom out there for any of the youth that are looking to, you know, find who they are, and give the sport an avenue to them, or a thought to them. You know, what would your words of wisdom be to the youth out there to follow in Layla's footsteps?
Well, that not just boxing, but in life, everything is possible. So if they really love something, just put the best they can, 100% in that, and they're going to make it. You know, a lot of work, a lot of dedication. Keep your head up. Don't listen too much to the negative stuff from other people's. And boxing in particular is a very lonely sport. You know, it's something that I use you and you and nobody else than you. So even the, like me and Layla, we spend a lot of time together and we talk all the time. But when you get in the ring, it's just you and your opponent, nobody else. So it's a tough sport, you know. So, but not just, like I said, not just boxing, any sport you do, anything you love in life, just put everything you have on it, and you will make it. There's nothing impossible. Everything is possible in this life.
Amen. You know, Layla, one last question before I let you go, and we kind of wrap things up. I promised around 30 minutes.
Okay.
We're just a couple of minutes over. But
okay.
If you had to paraphrase the next chapter and the story of Layla McCarter starting March 13th, what would that statement say?
I guess it's all about cementing my legacy. You know, I really want to prove that I've, for people who weren't paying attention during my career, I want to show them what Layla McCarter is about. I want to show them the best of me, all the experience, be able to display it. I would just like to bring out the best in me every time I fight, so I can and on big big shows where I can be seen. That's my goal for the last chapter.
I love it. You know, champ, I apologize. I never get tongue-tied on my shows. I've been in journalism for 17 years. I never get nervous, except for there's been, I think you were the third or fourth time out of 17 years, and
Well,
I'm humbled because, you know, I get to interview some of the greatest athletes that have ever existed in this world. But there's
awesome.
those there's the ones that you really want to get that opportunity with, and you try to make the greatest interview possible, and then you put so much thought into it that you get tongue-tied. You know what I'm talking about, because there's sometimes we go into a fight overthinking it when we truly don't need to. And I did that today, and it's just because you...
No, I think you've done great, man. Thank you.
Oh, I'm honored. You've done such a great job in the sport. You know, you talk about a legacy. My friend, you've already created your legacy. Now you're creating history. You know, and
thank you so much.
Tremendous respect to you. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program before we let you go.
Well, I definitely would like to thank Rival Boxing Gear. They're my sponsor, and I always wear Rival in the ring. They're the best shoes, best gloves. I really love the brand. Richard from Rival has kept us in good Rival gear for the last years, and I want to thank Luis, of course, and all my support and family, and that's about it.
Luis,
thank you for that.
I'm going to toss the mic to you if there's anything you want to add to the show before we let you go, my brother. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Same as Lil. I just want to thank the same sponsor, Rivals, and all the people, all the friends. We have so many friends on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these people that have always been following around for the last 10, 15 years. You know, thank you for everything. And every time you see Leila Makari, yes, you're going to see new things. And she always, even if she's getting to the 41, 42-year-old, she's getting better and better. You know, she's not slowing down. And she's getting a complete fight right now. So don't miss the next fight. It's going to be on Fight TV. Don't miss it. It's going to be in pay-per-view. I don't know exactly how much. Probably not too much. $5, $10. And don't miss it because it's going to be a tremendous fight. Leila's. Every fight is better and better and better.
And we'll have all the information on our social media.
Right.
Leila McCarter, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and Luis A. Tapia as well. Luis A. Tapia.
We post everything.
And we post everything for the fight, so you guys can keep up with us there. And I appreciate all the support from you. So.
Most definitely, champ. Luis, thank you so much for making...
Yeah,
my bucket
thank
list
you.
Come true.
Thank you. And anytime you need anything, Alfred, just let me know. I'd be glad to help you and all your listeners over there. And any update or anything regarding to boxing.
We'd be happy to come back.
Yes.
I truly 100%. Appreciate that. God bless you both, and I hope you both have a tremendous day. I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing yourself with my listeners. It's been a true blessing and an honor.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye,
have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. I'm kind of embarrassed. I got a little bit tongue-tied, but, I mean, 8-time world champ, 5-time division champ, and bare-knuckle boxing champion getting ready to fight again. I mean, I don't think the sport gives enough credit sometimes to the women boxers. And there's a reason why. Leila McCarter, but we're going to go ahead and give Victor Morales Jr. a call right now. I'm running about 8 minutes behind.
This is Victor.
Hey, Victor, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
All right. I, you know what? I never asked you if I was supposed to directly call Victor or call you.
Yeah, call Vic. But here, yeah, you can call Vic.
Is he right there?
Yeah, he's... 1 second.
We can just do this on speaker, brother. This is family.
Yeah. How you doing?
I just got through interviewing Leila McCarter. Tremendous.
Nice. He's here. How's it going, Don?
Oh, I'm going good. How you doing? Is this Victor Jr.?
Yeah, this is Victor Jr. now.
Oh, Okay. I got you both on speaker though, right?
Yeah, we're both right here, right next to each other.
All right, awesome. Oh man, you know, I wanted you back on the show today because through the quarantine and through the downfall, I've watched your videos, I've watched your post, and I watch you continue to grow. You know, you were just getting ready to blow up for the world, Victor, and the sport was shut down. How hard was that for you to get a greater understanding of the sport being put on hold for a moment, but yet, being the athlete that you are, you still persisted, you still pushed forward, you still trained as if you had a fight tomorrow. How hard is that on an athlete?
It's definitely pretty hard mentally, knowing that you're putting in all this work and you're getting better and better and better every day. And you just, you know, you don't know when you're going to get that kind of reward at the end of the tunnel, because right now we're just in a tunnel that we don't know when the end is. Well, we didn't know where the end was. We thought that this thing was going to last a few months, ended up being half the year, ended up being now a full year. But I just pretty much kept myself motivated. I just, you know, once the fight started coming back on, I was like, all right, I know that, you know, at any time I could get a phone call, So we just stayed in the gym pretty much through the whole time. I had a hand injury at the beginning of the year that actually postponed a fight that I was supposed to have in February. And I had a few surgeries to fix it. But I guess when everything got shut down, that's when everything happened. So I guess it was just a blessing in disguise that not only did I get shut down, but everybody did at the same time. So it gave me time to heal. And heal 100%, because I know that if, you know, the fights were still going and we didn't go on lockdown, that I was going to want to rush my healing, rush my physical therapy, and just get back into the ring as soon as possible. I guess this kind of just made it, you know, better for me so that I could heal 100%. And like I said, it just kept me motivated. It kept me motivated to just heal up 100% and just keep getting better from there. And that's it.
You know, I'm going to ask your dad a question real quick because, you know, you sit back and you look at what you've done for your son over his career. You've given up part of your life to let him live his dream and let his dream become a reality. And I'm kind of going to ask you in a roundabout way the same question that I asked Victor, you know, because 2020 comes around. You know, how hard is it for you that you and your family have given up truly everything to see Victor succeed, only, like I asked him, to see the sport shut down?
Oh, it's kind of a blow, just like everybody else felt it. We knew we couldn't stop. All the sacrifices, we had to continue, you know, working like if we were going to fight next month. Just because one thing we were fighting every day was rust. So that's what we did. We fought rust throughout the whole shutdown. We did anything we could. We spar anybody we could. We did do some changing and training. But it was hard. I mean, yeah, of course. You know, you don't see the end. But the reality is that only the real ones survive. I was told Victor that. Only the real ones survive. Victor never gained more than where he usually walks around. Victor never lost any way that usually he walks around. So for us, it's a lifestyle. See, when you have a lifestyle, fighting lifestyle, it's a whole different show. We've been doing this since Victor was 7. So for us, we didn't change anything. Shut down or not.
Just kept it going. You know, Victor Jr., you've got such a tremendous support circle. It's so cool. And, you know, I've never really met a fighter that has so much love and dedication from their family. You know, what does it truly mean for you to know that your parents and your friends and your relatives seeing you beyond what you see?
Well, it feels amazing. It wouldn't even be possible if I didn't have every single one of them, from family to friends to the entire Pacific Northwest. I mean, it's not just everyone in where I live. I mean, it's everyone in the area that I'm around. I mean, I get support in, you know, 3 to 4 states that surround the Pacific Northwest because, unfortunately, no one looks that way for boxing. So I, you know, put myself on the front line to kind of bring up the Pacific Northwest in a better way than, you know, the sport really looks at it. I try to make a name for the Pacific Northwest and pretty much just put it on my back so that one day, you know, not the only one that's signed to a major promotional company. We have more than one. And, you know, having the support from everyone just makes it that much easier. You know, if I had, you know, a lot of hate and stuff, I don't know that it'd be as easy as it is. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same road, but I get support from family, friends, and just the entire area that I'm from. And it's just truly a blessing. And, you know, I thank everyone for that every time I get the chance.
Yeah. Well, the world already knows that I got to meet you in Clackamas, Oregon at the return of former IBF world champion Steve Forbes. But we all know that isn't really one of the main reasons I went up there. I went up there because I needed to see this young prodigy, Victor Morales Jr., that the sport was talking about. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do you call him a prodigy? He's had such a short pro career. But you've had probably one of the longest amateur careers and highly touted amateur careers out of any boxer in the sport, but yet you're a young man. You know, when you look at your amateur days compared to the pro days, you've grown significantly. And one opportunity that I take that was probably one of your first pivotal moments in the sport was back in 2018, a fight with David Byrna. Would you say that was a moment that helped you realize that you could do this, and not only can you do this, but you're going to show the sport who Victor Morales truly is? Because that was really a defining moment in you.
Yeah, it did. I knew that he was a big power puncher that was, you know, going to come. And, you know, I knew that, you know, every fight that I do or that I have, you know, it's going to be, you know, harder and harder and harder. And that was pretty much one of the one fights that really I took a step up in. And, you know, we went out there and did what we had to do. I try to go out there and show the best Victor Morales possible every time I go out there.
Well, son, the reason I bring up that fight, and I think your father will actually agree with me, and I know you will, but, you know, MMA, like I brought up with Layla McCarter, MMA is so much different than boxing. You know, you can be 7-0, 10-0, 12-0, and everybody thinks you're something. But in boxing, you're nobody with a record like that. You know, you have to get to a certain point where the sport feels it's time to prove who you are. And that happened to you at a very early aspect in your career. That's why I bring up the Byrna fight. Because in my eyes, that was one of your first true tests that the sport has given you. Now I'm going to ask your pops. Pops, do you agree with me?
Yeah, that was his first, absolutely. I agree 100%. That was his first. I think the toughest one was the last one. His record didn't show that. But because he pretty great opposition. That's why I never looked at the records, you know, how many losses. I looked at their experience and who they fought.
So this guy that he fought lost, he was pretty, he's definitely the toughest one. But yes, David Berna was, that was the crossover. The, hey, Victor is here. Here to stay for a long time.
Yeah. And that's the way I look at it, because in boxing, you have to prove who you are. Now, Victor, you got an opportunity to sign with Golden Boy, as we all know, and I don't know if the deal with DAZN is still there, but what did it make you feel like? You know, because I know you were discouraged with the Olympics, your birthday being a day too early for the Olympic team. So what did it mean for you to get signed to Golden Boy and DAZN?
It was a childhood dream of mine, actually. I grew up and just watching, you know, from when I first stepped in the gym. So even now, I mean, I used to watch Oscar De La Hoya. I used to watch all his fights, all his previous fights and stuff. And he was my idol, even till this day. I even had like a life-size cutout of his, you know, of him from like a bar that one of my family members had given me. And it was pretty much like my idol watching over me pretty much as I would sleep. You know, me being like between 8 and 10 that I had it. I had it for, you know, a few years. It was a dream come true when they called me and we, you know, set up the deal to get signed. It really was a dream come true.
You know, Victor, you train with Freddie Roach, Buddy McGirt, and I was talking with your father the other day, and a good buddy of mine has been hanging around the gym lately, James Lights Out Tony. What does it mean for someone like yourself to be able to absorb and take in so much knowledge from tremendous legends of the sport?
It's truly a blessing, because there's boxers out there that don't get to meet any of these guys at all. And I get to, you know, walk into those gyms and just learn from some of the very best coaches. And me and my dad just get to go in there and just soak up everything we can like a sponge. There's things that they do that we don't do. There's things that we do that they don't do. And it's just a matter of picking things that we're going to work on, try things out. If it doesn't work, you know, we'll drop it or adjust it. But we're able to get, you know, things from these different, you know, these different trainers like Buddy and Freddie and even James Tony. We're truly able to just suck in everything that we can.
You know, I love having you on the show, bro. I miss that night in Clackamas, and I got to see your fight on TV, and I was so proud of you, Mijo, because, you know, I knew, like I said, I had to go to Oregon. I had to see you fight. And getting to meet you and your family was a tremendous opportunity in my life. You know, you've got a tremendous future. And you've got some of the greatest fighters that ever stepped into the ring in your corner. You know, how hard is it sometimes, though? Or does it ever become overwhelming, being that you are so young, to have so many eyes looking at you, so many opportunities being given to you? How do you handle it, being that you are as young as you are? Because I wouldn't have been able to.
Well, I guess it just goes with the experience, I guess. I've been doing this since I was 7. So being able to perform in front of, you know, people and, you know, for people, on different platforms and stuff. I guess it's just all normal to me. I just kind of take it in and we just go fight after fight. You know, every fight is a new fight. I mean, I trained and I grew up with, you know, Sean Porter and Kenny Porter from, you know, about 2010 till when I turned pro. So I pretty much had that already in my pocket. I already knew how to kind of perform in front of people like that. And even to this day, I mean, I still talk to Sean here and there, and, you know, we check up on each other and see how it is. But I guess it just goes with experience. I mean, someone that can truly perform in front of a crowd, in front of certain people, not everyone can do that, but I was able to adapt to that, and I'm able to perform when I need to and perform, you know, at the top level when I need to.
Well, you surely, you're taking the world by surprise, son. I'm going to ask your pops a question. I watch Victor training. It's out of the box. It's not your normal boxing training on a lot of aspects. You know, you see him doing different variances of training that really have correlated and created a young beast and a future champion in the sport. What was it that had you take his training out of the box? And, you know, I think it's a great perception to do so. When I look at it, I see it as trying to create a unique monster. What was your thought and ideology when you took Victor's training out of the box?
Well, that was the only way. That's the only way to succeed. We have to do everything that not everybody else is doing and willing to do. Look at everybody. We knew we had to move. Coming from the Northwest, there's not much boxing. So we knew we had to, I had to move him. You know, I had to move Victor everywhere. Victor got the best training in Las Vegas. Victor got the best training in L.A. We had to get out of the box. Stevie Forbes did it. That's why he brought a world championship. That's why he has a belt around his, you know, he brought a belt. Why? Because he got out of the box. There's so many things you got to do, got to adapt, got to see if it's for you, if it's not. It's not for everybody. Everybody's different. But definitely I knew that we had to give him the best chance. That's my main goal. I want to make sure Victor has the best shot at what he loves. So, and I knew that, you know, once you outgrow the box, you got to find a bigger box. And right now we're looking into finding a bigger one, even bigger one. So it never ends. The boxing never ends. The learning never ends. Boxing continues to evolve. So we have to continue to stay ahead of the game, because that's just what boxing is. You can't stay behind. So, yeah, that's, we knew if we wanted to succeed, we needed to get out of the box, for sure.
Well, he's a rarity to come out of the Pacific Northwest. I can't think of many. You know, you do talk about Steve Forbes, but he even had to go down to Las Vegas and L.A. to get where he's at in the sport. You know, Victor, that just shows the dedication that you see in yourself, that you see in family, and that you see in the sport. You know, I fell in love with you, kid, when I first met you, and I think the world is going to see a tremendous fighter grow into a world champion. You know, I believe in life sometimes we should give a message back to those that believed in us and helped push us and helped create us. If you had to give a statement to the people that have been Team Tornado, or just the people that have stood by you side by side, son, to this point in your career, what would that statement of thanks be back to those who have believed in you since day one?
I would just, you know, pretty much this is only the beginning. I mean, what they've seen now is not anything compared to what we have planned for the future. And all I have to do is go out there and perform to the gym every day and just work my butt off. You know, this is just the beginning. And, you know, I thank everyone for, you know, for following me and supporting me. But like I said, this is only the beginning, and there's a lot to come. To me and to everyone in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget where you came from. You know, I know the virus has everything shut down or kind of half working right now. But I know you and your father talk. If Golden Boy was to give you a call today, I know you would take no matter what they gave you. But if you and your father had an ideal opponent that you would like to come out of this and face in 2021, who would that be, son?
Honestly, I want to show I want to separate the true fighters, the truly good fighters, from the ones that were faking to be fighters pre-COVID. I want to show the separation between the people that have worked every day through COVID versus the people that took a bunch of break and got fat, gained 30 pounds, and now they're trying to come back. So, you know, I would want the best opponent that they could possibly give me to show that I was working every single day. I stayed in shape every single day and that I'm ready to go. And, you know, they can bring the best opponent and I'm going to show up there and I'm going to perform like I always do.
Bingo. You know, I love that you put it that way because I had Coach Colin Oyama and Coach Kenny Johnson. And they said a lot of fighters are complaining about 2020. He said, but you know what? We gave our fighters, and this is in the MMA world, not the boxing world, but they gave their fighters an option. You could sit out, or you could take whatever fight opportunity comes your way. The choice is yours. And those fighters chose to fight. You look at Alex Perez, he got a world title shot. You look at many other fighters that stood up. They got opportunities in the UFC and other promotions that they never would have got. Now the world knows their name. I know you're that type of individual. I know your dedication and your perseverance to the sport is second to none. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on my show, and I wouldn't respect you the way I do. You know, I know this sport is just the beginning for you, but you already have the wisdom and the knowledge of a world champion. You know, when you look back and you understand the sport and you have others that are giving to you and you have the pride and the willingness to succeed, then you get Victor Morales. You know, son, I'm truly proud of who you are and where you're going. If you had to give a brief synopsis or message to Golden Boy Promotions about any opportunities or just a word of thanks to them for believing in you, what would that statement be, son?
Well, it would be, you know, like you said, I would, you know, thank them for seeing, you know, what everyone saw in me and what my dad has always seen in me. You know, my dad's always told me, you know, as we were, you know, fighting for other promotional companies, trust me, son, this one's not it. Yours is going to come around. Just keep working. And sure enough, it did. And it happened to be the childhood dream of mine. But I also want to let them know that I'm ready and I trained every day through COVID. That, you know, through 2020, and that I'm ready to go, and that they can bring me the best opponent that they can. And I'm going to show up, and people are going to know my name, and they're going to know the performance, and, you know, that I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Now, that is such tremendous words of wisdom from such a young man. So I love you, bro. But I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, Ed. I apologize for doing this, but I just got to because I was in your shoes once. You know, we have family and everybody that's there for us, and we talked about this earlier. But there's a special someone in your life that has been there for quite a while. Are we going to hear wedding bells in 2021 or anytime into the near future? Because I married my childhood sweetheart, and here I am still 35. I've married to her 35 years. I've been with her almost 40 years. What's the future hold on that aspect, bro? And I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
You're all good. And you're not the first person that's asked this. And, you know, when the time comes, the time's going to come. We're both very, very focused in our, you know, separate careers as I'm, you know, become, you know, I'm working the ranks of professional boxing, and she is, you know, in the medical field, and she is just, you know, she's focused on getting better and better at what she does. And, you know, when the time comes, the time's going to come. If it's this year, you know, then it's this year. If it's next year, then it's next year. I'm in no rush, and she's in no rush either. If it happens and we both feel it's the right time, you know, with our careers, that's pretty much the only thing that's, you know, we're pretty much focused on right now is our careers. And we're both on the same respect level and the same idea of pretty much what we want and when we want it. And like I said, we're in no rush, but if it happens this year, then it happens this year.
Well, son, I think 2021 is going to be your year. I think this year is going to be the year of the tornado, and I'm a fan. I've been a fan since day one. I wouldn't have drove 36 hours to see you fight if I truly wasn't dedicated to seeing what you could bring to the sport. You know, there's a lot of different aspects to who you are, and you're changing the game as you go. And I'm honored you and your father came on the show today because it really makes a big difference. I like sharing people like Layla McCarter, who's an 8-time world champion, 5-time division champ, and then sharing the future. I believe you're more than the future. I believe you're going to be one of the next world champions. But, Victor, let's say it's the end of the night. Nobody else is in the gym, and you're getting ready to walk out, and you turn around and you look back, and you see the ring. And you have that brief moment that you just kind of look into yourself, or you get a quick thought. What does that moment mean to you, and what do you take away from it?
You know, I guess in that moment, I'm pretty much looking back on everything that I've gone through for the last, you know, 16 years or so. Everything, you know, because I've been in one, you know, almost one gym the entire time, and that's the gym that I learned how to box in. So when I walk out of this gym, because I am usually the first one in and the last one out, you know, when I turn around and look at that ring, I see everything that I've gone through and everything that we're about to head into, and exciting. It's very exciting.
Son, you truly are exciting, and you're a tremendous athlete. You know, I want to ask your pop one more question, and we'll kind of wrap things up. You know, we don't know what's coming next for Victor Morales Sr., but you've done a hell of a job with your son. You know,
I'm
very honored that you let him come on my show time and time again. You know, people don't understand why they can't get interviews or why they can't get certain fighters. But you and I talked about this the other night, and I wanted to bring it up on today's show because I wanted to give these young and up-and-coming journalists a look into the sport, because you have to follow protocol in boxing. You know, I don't care if you know the fighter. I don't care if you guys are buddies. It doesn't work that way. You know, boxing is a totally different world than MMA or any other sport. You know, respect goes a long way in this sport. What have you taken away, not only in the retribute of respect, but what have you learned in the aspects of old school protocol in this sport we both love so much?
Oh, that's easy. Not only boxing, it's a lot of history in boxing, but boxing, you can't burn bridges. That's what one thing you don't want to do in boxing. You can't burn bridges, and it's all about respect. You know, who you talk to in boxing. You might have, like, you have Victor's cell number. You could call Victor anytime. But you called me. And now that I will, you know, I consider you brother and family. But when you call me, that shows your respect. So if I can take anything back and show or share with any journalist, is number one, don't burn bridges in boxing, you do, and that's it. You know, who you talk to the fighter. You learn that there's a lot of history in boxing. It's a very, 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 there's a lot of history, and there's a lot of people on that forgiven. There's a lot of old school people. So the old schoolers taught you that you don't go and talk to make matches with fighters. You go to coaches, talk to coaches, and it's a respect thing. But yeah, don't burn bridges. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's how we met. You know, Victor was standing 3 feet away from me. I could have very easily said, "Hey, could I get you to do a live video with me before your fight?" Who knows what would have happened, but I already know that that's not even the right way to go. You know, the first person I went to was you, and even Steve Forbes said, "Oh, Victor's right there." And Steve's a former IBF world champion, but I've always, you know, I got bumped out of boxing once, and that was because after I shot Diego Chico Corrales' fight, and
he
was gone 3 days later. And it was too much for me because Tony the Tiger Lopez, Loretta Garza, Pete Ranzani were people that were very significant in my life when I lived in California. And a little snot-nosed kid by the name of Diego Chico Corrales used to hang around us and follow us everywhere. So me being able to get to shoot his fights was huge. His last fight was here in Springfield, Missouri. And then I find out 3 days later that he was gone, so I stepped away. And when I wanted to come back into boxing, I was shunned. It took James Lights Out Tony to get me back into boxing. And I was shocked because I didn't realize, I mean, I hadn't burned a bridge. I just stepped away because it was too hard for me to continue. But coming back, the bubble was even smaller. You know, it was just like not right, man, getting back that easy.
We're glad you're back. You can give us a call anytime, Don.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, Victor Jr., I'm going to ask you one last thing, and then I'm going to let you kind of wrap things up. You know, we've talked about COVID. We've talked about your girlfriend. We've talked about what your father and everything has done for you. But you know what? What does the sport truly, when you sit down and you just have that deep thought about this sport, and you're just sitting there, what does this sport truly mean to you in retrospect?
Sport of boxing has been my life. It's been my way of life. Since I was 7, my whole life revolved around boxing and my family. So, I mean, the two really, to me, go hand in hand. That's just how it's been for the last 16 years. So I love boxing as much as I love my family. And, you know, boxing has given me all the things that I have, you know, today. And without boxing, I wouldn't have a lot of things that I do now, a lot of the opportunities that I do now. So, you know, I thank boxing and I thank my family for always giving me, you know, support and something to look forward to. Boxing always just gave me that accomplished feeling every time I was to get in the ring and accomplish whatever we were going to accomplish that day or that fight. Boxing has just been my life for me.
A tremendous one has been. You know, if you're listening to me, to my show on iHeart, Univision, CastBox FM transmitter, or our new dual syndication in the Philippines on Pinoy Broadcasting, I suggest you look up Victor Morales Jr., download this episode, because I guarantee you in the next 5 to 6 years, he will already be a world champion. He will be making a name for himself in this sport. And I don't say that lightly because you're on my show. Because if I didn't think he had it, I wouldn't say it. You know, life is about truth and honesty. But what I see you give to the sport, son, is second to none. I'm truly honored you came on the show, you know, and shared who you are this evening. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, Victor, the floor is yours.
Well, I just want to thank everybody that has supported me over the last 16 years. I want to thank all my sponsors. I want to thank Sheer Sports Management for managing me over the last few years. And I want to thank Golden Boy for giving me the opportunities now that I'm going to be able to put my name out there on a worldwide platform. I just want to thank everybody. And, you know, my sponsors in specific, I want to thank El Rancho Grande, the Beck's Mexican Food in Bend, Oregon. I want to thank my barber, Pressure Washing, for always, you know, having, you know, everyone having my back. And even through all of COVID, you know, we've stayed in contact, and I want to thank everybody for all the support.
Now, where can my listeners find you on social media, son?
On Facebook, it's going to be Victor Morales Jr., and then on Instagram, it's going to be official_Victor Morales.
Cool. I'm going to ask your dad one more thing, and we're going to let him go. I'm going to hand you the mic just like I did Victor, because I know you're very respectable towards people who have helped you in this sport. And I know you appreciate each and every avenue that's been given to you. So, as with Victor, I'm going to hand you the mic. If there's anything you would like to add to the show before we wrap things up, sir, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Don, for the time and all your support as well. And
you're welcome.
Thank everybody follows Victor. This is just the beginning. Trust me, you guys haven't seen nothing yet. I see it every day as his coach and dad. They haven't seen nothing yet. And I always give my son focus on this is just the beginning. He might, when he wins a world title, I'm going to look at him and say, same thing. This is just the beginning because it never ends. So, yes, no, thank you for everybody, his sponsors, all the support from everyone. It's just tremendous. And one thing I can say is no matter where you're from, just believe. That's it. And you believe in yourself. That's all you don't have to make anybody believe in you. You just got to believe in yourself. Confidence, every day with your confidence, because that's what you're going to need to succeed.
Amen to that, brother, because I said I'm 25 years in this business. You've got to have confidence, you've got to have thick skin, and you most definitely got to believe in yourself. You know, that's the key to success. And always, like we talked about earlier, always stepping out of the box is another absolute in this sport. Victor, well, both of you, I'm truly thankful that you both came on. You know, I know the sport is going to really have a great time with you, Victor Jr., because what I got to see in Oregon was just a taste of what you're fitting to bring to the sport. And I know the sport world is just biting at the bit to get to see you fully explode, bro. They haven't even felt your man strength yet. So I can't wait to your next fight. I can't wait for you to show the world who Team Tornado is. And I'm truly honored both of you came on the show this evening. From me to you, thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Don. And I appreciate you having me on the show. And if you ever need anything, just you know where to call us.
Oh, most definitely. I appreciate that, son. You have a tremendous evening, and God bless both of you. Thank you, Victor Sr.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Oh, man, such a humble kid. I just love the hell out of that kid. If you don't follow Victor Morales Jr., you need to. I mean, he's been in the sport a long time. People say, well, how did he get bumped up in the pro ranks so quick? He probably had one of the longest amateur careers I've ever seen. Fell one day short of being part of the Team USA, but he won the Junior Olympic team. He dominated in that. But sitting at 13-0 as a pro, kid is just a tremendous warrior. You know, I want to thank Oscar De La Hoya at Golden Boy Promotions for signing such a tremendous talent. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stichran and Juan Ramirez, and the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. Been a long day. The world is crazy, but keep your chin up, as God always has our back. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
Rhythm is on.